This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Chris Vandergood.
And I'm Catherine Cruz. Before we start in on today's discussion about landlord and tenant issues, we're going to go to HPR reporter Kuwei Hiraishi, who's been on Hawaii Island since Friday, covering the Kilauea eruption. Good morning, Kuwei.
Good morning, guys.
So where are you?
I am actually in my car. It's raining today at the checkpoint where the roads are closed, but folks in Pahoa trying to get into Leilani Estate are lined up in their cars waiting to return to their homes to fetch any last-minute items.
Kuwei, they're not returning to their homes to go back in. They just need to get their property out because there's a couple of subdivisions are still in quite a bit of jeopardy, aren't they?
Yes. So Manipuna Gardens residents are not able to get back in because of the high level of SO2 in the air, but folks in Leilani Estates are being allowed back home. A lot of them did not get home on Thursday before the evacuation was ordered, so they did not get anything from their home. And so they were glad to get in yesterday, and then the folks lining up today as well.
They probably have to monitor them pretty closely, I would think, when they go back into their homes, yeah?
Yes, because the lava is still flowing in that in the subdivision, and gas is everywhere. There were new cracks that showed up on Highway 130, and that's the main road to Leilani Estate for folks near Pahoa. And so there was some hesitancy to let folks in at 7. The Hawaii Civil Defense decided to go through with that, and folks were let in, but most of them had paint masks or gas masks, anything to sort of keep that gas away.
There have been lots of heartbreaking stories of people who have lost their homes, especially when it comes to children who were evacuated, so quickly from that area. What's your take on are there a lot of children in the shelters?
There weren't. When I went in Saturday night, there weren't too many children. A lot of, I guess, the bigger families that have families to, extended family to go stay with. I think that's been more the case, but there's no idea of who's staying with who. But in the shelters, not too many, lots of animals, but not too many children.
Kuwei, as I understand it, there's still, the volcanic activity is still somewhat unpredictable. Is that right?
Yes, USGS scientists really have no idea how long more we can expect this lava to be coming out, but they did say that it's built up. One geologist said that it is sort of a built up magma, old magma that's making its way out, and we don't know how much of it is in it.
Well, Kuwei, I know you're right there on the scene. We're going to check in with you again at the end of today's program, but thanks very much for that report.
All right, thanks, guys.
And that's our reporter Kuwei Hiraishi, who's talking to us from on the road in Pahoa. We're going to check back with her, as I said, at the end of the show. We're going to check in with the Big Island in the couple of minutes that remain in the program because our reporter Kuwei Hiraishi was on her way to Pahoa when we last spoke with her. Kuwei?
Oh, hello, Chris. How's it going?
Okay. What's going on where you are?
I stopped by a few of the shelters to check in with those folks. So it looks like Civil Defense was able to gather some community organization and nonprofits to start doing intakes and assess the needs of those that have been displaced. So they've set up a community information center at Sacred Hearts Church all day, and then we're having a community meeting tonight. So a big push to get more information out in a timely manner.
How many people are out of their homes now, give or take? Can you tell?
There's no. So we're trying to get a solid estimate. Census estimates for residents in the area numbered in around 1,700. I can say that there were several hundred that made their way into Leilani Estate yesterday and today. No telling who's the resident and, who's actually just helping carry, take stuff out of that subdivision.
Do we have any sense as to how many people might have insurance or do most not?
There is no idea. A lot, for the folks that I've spoken to, not too many, I'd say 80% of the folks that I've spoken to who have had problems with their homes and live on the estate have not had insurance. But that is something that they are taking information on at these assessments at Sacred Heart Church today. So we'll have a better idea of data after today for sure.
So we'll learn a lot from that community meeting this evening, I'm sure.
Yes. But
it sounds as if, even by the most generous interpretation, there are people there who are losing their homes.
Exactly, and then really no plan in their minds of what to do next.
What's the mood given that, Kuve? Can you get an idea of that?
What was that?
The mood of people that you're talking to in the shelters. What kind of things are you hearing?
The folks that I've spoken to have not been too much in despair. There wasn't a lot of there was a lot of uncertainty, but somehow some optimism as to we'll figure it out. I've got a friend I'm staying with, you know, I'm staying with my fellow Rotarian, or I'm staying with my coworker, and it seems to be a lot of the community pulling together to help those in need right now. But as this displacement prolongs with the continued lava eruption, we will see what that looks like later.
And Kuvehi, I know there were some folks who were operating vacation rentals out there, and I just was curious. I would assume that any visitors might have left the area and, you know, taken up residence somewhere else.
Yes, I did see a couple who owned a Airbnb sort of south towards Kalapana and Opinikau, which is actually cut off from to local traffic only right now, saying that they had moved their guests to a fellow Airbnb renter's home. So they are working. I haven't spoken to too many visitors. I haven't seen them in the shelters or anything, so I have yet to find one.
All right. Well, thanks, Kuvehi. And hopefully you'll keep us updated with all the latest details.